listening to WPVMLP in Asheville, North Carolina, 103.7 on the dial, heard globally on WPVMFM.org, and on Alexa. Just tell Alexa to play WPVM Radio.
Welcome to the Audio Garden, where we cultivate our collective wisdom, nurture creativity, and spread love. My name is Martha Sandberg, and this is Listen and Be Heard.
Listen and be heard, because you can and must make a difference for the better in this world.
Listen and Be Heard is a radio program that's part of the Pacifica Radio Network. We focus on writers of all genres, poetry, children's, memoir, fiction, creative nonfiction. And now we're taking on a lot of other elements, addressing concerns of indigenous communities, music, and it just runs the gamut of everything that nourishes the soul. In fact, I've been involved as one of the hosts, co-host, have some interviews coming up fairly soon in the next couple of weeks. So it's something that I really enjoy. I just got a whole lot of pleasure, and it's something that I'm very passionate about, and I'm glad that it's here.
Hey, 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 ¿cómo estamos? ¿Qué pasa, everybody? What is up? Hernan Ramiro over here, straight from Brooklyn, you know, formerly known as Jay Rodriguez. I hope you're enjoying the show. So much good stuff. Let's keep it going. This is WLBH. Listen and Be Heard Hour. Summer Remix.
Right now, here later on, something you said might help me 5 years from now. You know?
Yeah.
So if I had to, maybe you had to cross paths and I heard it, I might have known that never reached.
Hold on. Yeah, I wanted to ask you, what does listening and being heard mean to you?
Thank you. Listening and being heard are two separate things. You can listen to anything. You can listen to music while you're cleaning. You can listen to a sermon or anything in the background while you devote your attention to something else. But when you're being heard, that means that what you hear, you're actually reflecting on, and you're applying that towards your actions, either towards the situation or towards the person. You understand? So if you approach me and you tell me, hey mom, you know, you took my laundry and washed it and you didn't ask me if, you know, I was okay with that, right? If I'm just listening to you, I'm like, all right, Micah, and I'll move on with my daily routine or whatever it is I'm doing for the household. But if I'm hearing you, if I heard you, then the next time I do laundry, I will approach you and say, hey, listen, I'm about to do laundry. How would you like me to do your laundry? Do you want me to do your laundry? You understand?
Yes, thank you.
So make sure when I ask you to do something.
Carabao for Al Robles. I had felt them too, the water buffalo,
They come from far, unlighted fields. They lead us out of our city streets into the sleeping blue of water, all of us crossing together. Inside their curved horns, voices whisper us back from our wanderings. On Kearney Street, we are far from the lettuce fields, the cockfights, the blood of the pig. And still farther, trapped in memory, comes the arrival of workers' boats, of cane fields waking in the arms of dark men. I have not always known their tender presence. In this city cradled by two bridges, the old ones disguised as dog spirits lick the bones we leave for the dead. The wind spins us in this ordinary world until someone nearly broken with desire to be lifted to another country in his heart remembers the feel of the animal's black hair, the slow but powerful Carabao walk. In the dark, they chase us into dream, into what voices that bathe in the blue night, like the blue awakening of fish.
I'd like to tell you the very first story I ever wrote. And it was published worldwide, 7 world languages. That's Portuguese, Spanish, English, Chinese, Braille, Arabic, and so on. I was so surprised that I could actually write a story and be so successful with it in one go. It's called A Dragon's Wish. Long, long ago in old China, there lived a little girl called Mei. Now, Mei means pretty, but this little girl was called Mei Mei, because she was twice pretty. She was pretty on the outside, but she was also pretty on the inside where it counted the most. She had a good heart. Now, Mei Mei lived with her granddad, who was called Lao Nan. Now, Nan means man, and Lao means old. So his name was Old Man. It's quite a nice name in Chinese for a granddad. And they lived in a house in a little village. They were very happy, but Lao Nan now couldn't work in the fields anymore, but he was still very, very skillful with his fingers, and he could embroider clothing, he could make dragons and phoenixes for weddings, he could embroider all kinds of things on silk costumes for weddings. They paid him for it, and this night he'd been working all night to finish a costume for a little girl in the next village. It's going to be her birthday, and it was of the goddess Guanyin, the goddess of the poor, the goddess of fishing people, the goddess of dragons. So he came the next morning to Mei Mei and said, Mei Mei, can you take this to the little girl in the next village? And she said, yes, of course, Lao Nan. So they wrapped it up in brown paper, tied it up in string, and off she went, out of the village, up the hill, past the graveyard, and into the forest. The village is on the other side of the forest. But as she's walking through the forest, she suddenly heard this,
please leave me alone, I'm not doing it, oh, I don't hurt anybody. And whack, whack, whack. And she thought, what's going on here, what's going on?
Being a clever, smart little girl, Mei Mei hid behind the trees and looked out.
You're listening to the Listen and Be Heard Hour for readers and writers, brought to you by the Listen and Be Heard Network and by Sound System Culture. All right. Now back to A Dragon's Wish.
And she saw these big men with hairy chest and big earrings sticking out of their ears. And they were laughing. And they, do you know what they did? They had a baby dragon. They caught it, tied it up onto the ground, and they were beating it with sticks and just laughing. And the dragon was calling out, and please leave me alone, I haven't hurt you, I haven't done anything, I'm just a baby dragon. But they just laughed and laughed and beat the dragon. And Mei Mei was so sorry for the dragon. But what could she do? She's just a little girl, and they were big pirates, bandits. She did not know what to do. Then she had an idea. She untied the parcel,
took out the costume of the goddess Guan Yin and stood up on a rock where everybody could see her. And in the biggest, loudest voice she could muster for a little girl, she pointed and said, "Leave that dragon alone." And the bandits turned around to see who would dare. Who would dare speak to them in such a fashion? But when they looked and they saw standing on the rock, they saw the goddess Guan Yin. They said, "Oh my goodness, everybody, look, it's the goddess Guan Yin. We'd be in trouble now. Please grab your things and run." And so they all ran up because they were bullies, and you know, bullies are just cowards, and they were scared, and they ran off. And quickly, Mei Mei climbed down from the rock and untied the dragon. And that dragon was so thankful. And he said, "Mei Mei, I know who you are. I know why they call you Mei Mei. And because you have a good heart, I'm going to give you 3 wishes. What would you wish for?" But she said straight away, "Oh, I want lots and lots and lots and lots of money." And so, all of a sudden, the dragon waved his claws, and in front of her were bags and bags of gold and silver coins. Then she said, "Right, I want some diamond rings, and I want a crown, and I want jewelry, and bracelets, and necklaces." And straight away, the dragon waved his claw, and she was covered in jewelry and a crown. And for a third wish, she asked for a big house to be built at the end of the village for her and Lao Nan to live in. And the dragon pointed and said, "Go back home and you will find your granddad and your home." So they went back, and the granddad was standing outside the door of his new home. And they lived happily ever after. Until one day, somebody in the village began to get the sniffles. And they began to sneeze. And they felt all shivery and cold. And they were aching. And they went to bed to try to get better. But they never did get better. You all just died. Someone else got the sniffles, felt cold and chilly. And they went to bed to try to get better and never woke up again. Aunties, uncles, babies, children, brothers, sisters, cousins, young and old, all little by little got the sniffles and called and went to bed.
You listen to the Listen and Be Heard Hour for Readers and Writers. Hey, I hope you're enjoying our story. It's part of our summer remix.
Mei Mei spent all her money to bring doctors from far and wide, but nobody could find anything. She sold all her jewels and her crown to bring more doctors, but nobody could find a cure. And then one day, Lao Nan got the sniffles, and he felt cold and shivery, and he went to bed to try to get warm. And Mei Mei said, "Oh no. Oh no, not Lao Nan, not my granddad, no. If only I had those 3 wishes again." And somebody way above the clouds heard her, and the dragon appeared again and said, "Mei Mei, I know what's happening. Because you're a good girl and you have a good heart, I'm going to give you those 3 wishes again. Now, what would you wish for?" And Mei Mei knew money and jewels were no good when it came to it. So she said, "I wish that this plague, this disease would go away and never come back again, so no one would be ill." And the dragon said, "So be it." And it never came again. But Mei Mei thought, what about all the people who died? And Lao Nan who was ill, can they all be better? Can they come back again? And the dragon slowly pointed his claw up to the hill, to the graveyard. And all these aunties and uncles and brothers and sisters and young and old came down the hill. They were all alive again. And everybody hugged and kissed each other. And there was a great big celebration all day. But she still had one wish left, and she didn't know what to wish for.
She thought and thought, money's no good, jewels are no good. She thought and thought, and then she thought, I know, I'm going to give you, Mr. Dragon, that wish. The dragon was so surprised. He'd never had a wish before. He never thought of it before. Everybody just took their three wishes and used them. He'd never been given one back before. He didn't know what to do with it. He thought and thought and thought. And then he said, I know what I wish for. I wish that from now on, all us young dragons can disguise ourselves as little boys and girls like you, so that no one will ever see us again as a dragon and be able to capture us and beat us up again. And that, boys and girls, is why dragons are not seen to this day, because they're all disguised as little boys and girls like you. Maybe even going to your school. How would you know?
Please visit our archives at listenandbeheard.net.
The government and different parts of the world have become less democratic, and there is, you know, a critique.
Governments and different parts of the world have become less democratic, and there is, you know, a curtailing of freedom and of speech and expression, even in India. There has been a lot of censorship for the last 10 years, even more than there has been ever in the past. But one of the things about, you know, Indian society is that we've always been, you know, very flourishing ground for different ideas. So the government and different parts of
Es muy importante que mujeres como yo, mujeres negras, mujeres afrocentradas, estén en los circuitos literarios.
Las mujeres estamos tomando su rol desde que se nos había sido negado. Nos ha tocado abrir el espacio, que las nuevas generaciones, las actuales y las nuevas generaciones, no tengan que tropezarse a cada rato con dificultades por ser negro, por ser pobre.
Y entonces es un sueño absoluto estar en La Habana, estar en Cuba, haberme encontrado con mujeres parecidas a mí.
Canto el murmullo de las olas y las melodías del coral. Es poesía lo que respiro. Soy poesía negra del mar.
I think seagulls are my favorite, at least in the way we were talking yesterday, and I was seeing if you could flip over the thing that was in your mind, the way the gulls spin and twirl in mid-flight, surprising themselves. Your mind is young and deep for its age, like tall grass that lives in a hurry. Out of it now comes a red-winged blackbird, just up and over the seed tips, a clean shock of red across its shoulders. It is after something, some bug of existence. And so it goes down and black and up and bright, doggedly beautiful. The gulls dive down too and crash against the water, just as I hunt for ways to show you that you are fit for the world, just as you are. Across the marsh, the gulls beat in hundreds of directions, steady, twisting, free fall, float, weaving something unseeable. It's that we have this one life, and everything is an idea. Even the winning strike that breaks just below the surface and manages to fetch something shining.
Carabao for Al Robles. I had felt them too, the water buffalo. They come from far, unlighted fields. They lead us out of our city streets into the sleeping blue of water, all of us crossing together. Inside their curved horns, voices whisper us back from our wanderings. On Kearney Street, we are far from the lettuce fields, the cockfights, the blood of the pig. And still farther, trapped in memory, comes the arrival of workers' boats, of cane fields waking in the arms of dark men. I have not always known their tender presence. In this city cradled by two bridges, the old ones disguised as dog spirits lick the bones we leave for the dead. The wind spins us in this ordinary world until someone nearly broken with desire to be lifted to another country in his heart remembers the feel of the animal's black hair, the slow but powerful Karaba walk. In the dark, they chase us into dream, into wet voices that bathe in the blue night, like the blue awakening of fish.
This is Hernan Ramiro for Listen and Be Heard. And you're listening to Listen and Be Heard Hour for readers and writers.
Mentioned on this podcast at listenandbeheard.net. This is the Listen and Be Heard Hour.
My alerts, my knee jerks, my ticks and trembles and fears and smears on my character, those subterranean blues, those many hues of yous not being here for me, so there's no need to be to remember what, remember who, remember why you cried and insisted you didn't know why or how or who, because you didn't. And you were three, and it's still just all the way it has to be, because it's what it is, which who knows what or who it is or cares, or wears clothes in the park, in the dark, in a parking lot, at the gas station, automation, nation, nation of my soul. There's a hole I don't fit in that fits me. There's a goal, there's a fold in the headlights. They are so bright, and my brother dies before my eyes in the street. And the beat goes on, the heat, the neat stacking of books, the sideways looks, the crooks that took your cookies, looky, looky. Who do you think you are? You are, you are, you are, you are the star in a constellation, the far-flung, floozy, boozy, fraternize with flossy, noosy, naughty, body, body, buddy, buddy, not so warm and cuddly, more like ugly monster, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, any day to pray, to pray, to pray, to pray, to pay, to play, to play, to say anything but what's bothering you that's so hard to do. Shoulders up around my ears. Is that fear? Feeling old beyond my years, and the cold makes me shiver, but not enough to know ahead of time to put on that sweater, even though it was itchy and I didn't like, and I liked my sisters better, always everything was better, bigger, badder. Not me. I felt ugly. Mom said I was fat and didn't have friends, but I wasn't, and I did. I think, but I'm not sure, never sure, never certain what's behind the curtain. But everyone is reaching the memos but me. Everybody is reading the memos but me. I'm shivery, I'm slippery, I don't want to know. I think you want to know, but who are you, slipping off the right side of the page, who can't stop herself, or so she would have you believe that she didn't conceive herself. But here she is, trying to claim there's a reason she didn't get the memo. Treason is memory. She has to speak the plain truth in the plain day to say what there is no other way to say. How it's all pay to play in the street, in the beat of the times, the rhymes that distract from the facts of strife, the life of lies, until we wise, wisen up, up, up. Drink from the cup, the holy grail is from the slop pail, the shit that grits grow from, the scum and drumbeat of my heart saying make art, make, just make, and fake the memories maybe, or make the memories, which is fine, but mine are all mine if I remember them or not. I might have forgot the unforgettable, the regrettable repetition of omission as I try to get to the end of the page with something that's old, something real that is in the past. How does that last? A fast girl, a gas, a task, don't ask, because I don't know. I don't want to know. Don't send me any memos, no demos, because I already know what you did.
Mm-hmm. we really do have to remember that the main culprits in this situation are petrochemical companies and large corporations and oil and gas, big oil, big gas, and the political framework that's attached to that. And so if we can just breathe and remember that, then I think it's easier to be like, okay, I'm just going to pick one thing today, or I'm going to try to help my teenagers form this habit, right? Turning the lights off, maybe over whether the banana peel goes in the compost or the trash, and not beating ourselves up if we're not checking every box.
This is a poem dedicated to Billy Mills, who is a elder. He was the winner of the 1964 Tokyo Olympic Games 10,000 meter track race and author of the new children's book, Wings of an Eagle. And this is a poem for him. It's called The Circle. A race is run in a circle, an oval, the shape of an eye, a blink, a lifetime. Begins at mind's curvature, the shape of ritual, song, pain, a dance, an offering of bones, kindling songs whose breath sweeps across wind and earth. A race run by fathers, mothers, daughters, sons, seven generations. Feet planted, held aloft upon mother's fertile earth. The silent gun begins the race, a race towards dignity, a race towards the meaning of our names. A gun whose silent ring stays in our ears across 10,000 seasons. A race towards harvest, a race that never ends. Look at Mills, look at Mills! An announcer's voice cries out on Mother Earth's stage of constant rotation. The stage of our eyes and what we behold never to be withheld. Positions changing, coming full circle, and what have we won? My father, my uncle, and those that came before, and all the things they should have said and done have now been said and done. A race won and lost and won again and again. Billy, thank you for running that race, lifting us from shadows like the wings of an eagle.
Is to create relationships of mutual benefit or reciprocal relationship. And so thinking through what that means very, very specifically is thinking through all the relationships in the food system and making sure that each relationship, both parties, are being cared for.
This is the Listen and Be Heard Hour, brought to you by Listen and Be Heard Network. You can visit our archives at listenandbeheard.net, where you are also welcome to contribute to our efforts in creating this entirely commercial-free podcast and radio show.
Hey, ¿cómo estamos, everyone? This is Jay Rodriguez. Son known as Hernán Ramiro Rodriguez Sierra. Hope you're enjoying our summer remix. So Listen and Be Heard Hour, readers and writers. Back to it.
There we go.
Where all my honey gone?
There we go.
Has it gotten stuck on the inside of the lovers who can't get the taste of me out their mouth? Has it found a home in all the homes it's visited? Whose jar is it sitting in now? Some of it has sunk itself into sheets stained of honey golds. There's ex-lovers out there inhaling those same spots, hoping to catch a whiff of my memory. There's some rotting in the hands of a man who first held me when I greeted the world. Maybe my honey was too potent from birth. There's even more rotting in the hands of a man that was meant to be a mentor, but my honey seemed too sticky for him to not want to see just how sticky. Didn't matter that he was closer in age to the man who first took my honey without asking. Why y'all keep taking my honey without asking?
What?
When did I become the bee and you, I mean them, keeper? When did my body start producing honey just to be stored in different places?
Right.
When did I become so lost in all the noise that the buzzing just started to sound like music?
Right.
Sweet melodies no one thinks twice about. When did I lose the will to say, you can't have none of my honey? It's my honey. I may have dropped some along the way, but it wasn't for you. I may have shared it with some not worthy, but that doesn't make it less pure. I've even shared it with some who didn't even want the honey. They only took it because it was free. Something like a tasting, a sample of something they might like, except when they didn't like it, I never got my honey back. My body of a jar was just now a little less full, just wishing I could get some of my honey back. Regretting having allowed myself to be pried open that way, but I was told I would be handled with care. Even convinced I would be kept in a cool, dry place away from direct sunlight. The perfect environment for me to thrive in. So I let the top of my honey be cracked. Watched as the stickiness dripped out of me. Let unclean fingers take a dip, hoping they loved the taste of me after cleaning me off. Even when I knew I didn't want them to, I let them dip into my sweetness anyways. Even in moments I didn't want it to, my honey still bleeds. So that must mean I wanted it to, right? It made sense then, to need a sense of approval from the keeper. But did it make sense? Giving away all my honey like I don't got no goddamn sense, in hopes that someone would care and love me past all this tense. Soften my honey a bit, in hopes that them telling me how good my honey tastes would finally make me appreciate the jar it's kept in. Thing is, I know my honey sweet. Tastes like your favorite dessert. A delicacy to be cherished, and cherish her I will, because she tastes real good to me. And if she tastes real good to me, how dare I not be stingy about my honey?
Yeah.
That was beautiful. Thank you.
Which is red, less partition, which is red, which is red, which is red, less partition, which is red, 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 which
is red and stick prices from the enemies. From the enemies. Partition is always known as partition. Round in both ages of beginning. Omnipotent time of our reason. Omnipotent. The time is the time of our reason. Time of our reason. Brains. How are you doing? Brown is always. How are you doing to brown?
Thank you.
support the Listen and Be Heard Network and Sound System Culture, that Inc., right? So that we can keep on bringing you this beautiful music and these beautiful statements and giving our people in our community all around the world a voice that they may heal and grow and inspire. All right, now, all the best. Peace out.
Being able to have something to say, comes from being a good listener, you know, because you have to learn, you have to listen and gain knowledge, and then you can be a little bit more successful.
The time goes by so quickly here in the Audio Garden, my friends, and I've so enjoyed that time here with you. One of the pleasures of gardening, audio gardening, is listening to your garden grow. If I went back, or if you went back to listen to the pilot episode almost 3 years ago now of this show, which you could do, we have all of our archives at listenandbeheard.net. You would hear me by myself making a show, fooling around with the concept of what it is and how it should grow. And my idea at the time was to reintroduce myself to the literary community from which I felt a bit estranged, and to be a good member of that community and serve its needs, which is for authors to be able to have a forum, a platform to talk about their work, their new books, their craft, and for us to engage with each other and to embody the network that we are. Because we are the network, and Listen and Be Heard Network is nothing but a growing group of people who communicate and help each other out, too. Nurture each other, water each other, shine light on each other, and admire us when we flower, and harvest our fruits when they're ripe to be enjoyed after much practice and deliberation. And this show has grown and blossomed in ways that I could never really have imagined when I first began. And yet it's growing into what I envisioned it to be, which is for me to be part of a family and to, you know, do my part in that family. And my part seems to be to bring people together and engage them in conversation and have conversations that lead to action and creation and even beauty and enjoyment. And I hope that you feel the same way about Listen and Be Heard and would welcome your participation as another creator, inventor, listener who also needs to be heard. And there are various ways that you could become involved in this entirely commercial-free hour, either by contributing segments or contributing finances or just
leaving a comment and letting us know if we're making a difference in your life, if you like to come back from week to week.
Thanks, as always, to Davine Dial at WPVM Radio in Asheville, North Carolina, for introducing Listen and Be Heard to the broadcast airwaves, KCEI in Taos, New Mexico, KEPJ in San Antonio, Texas, KHOI in Ames, Iowa, and KFOI in Red Bluff, California, and other stations that are part of the Pacifica Affiliate Network for cultivating the audio garden in your communities, and our own Listen and Be Heard Network, host of WLBH.org. Please visit us at listenandbeheard.net and sign up for our email newsletter and at our Listen and Be Heard YouTube channel, where you will find unedited video interviews of our featured guests. My name is Martha Senator, and I want to thank you for listening and giving me the opportunity to be heard.
Thanks to Martha Senator, our executive producer, and our new nonprofit, Sound System Culture. Thank you for your support. Please tell your friends. This is the only place you're going to hear this music, this radio art, the way that radio podcasts should be felt and experienced in our communities. All right? Check it out.